What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
AT and Sal on The Fan. We are down with the king topic of the day, and we started this Football Friday. Yes, I know it's August. I know it's maybe premature, but it is a Football Friday with both the Jets and the Giants in action tomorrow, and I think that there are intriguing things for each of these teams to look for in week one. And right now, we welcome in what, in my opinion, I was saying this before, Nick, I don't think anybody knows as much NFL as you do, especially right now, but I would put you, and you know I listen to your Sunday morning show all the time, gets me set for fantasy betting purposes. Not that I take everything that you say gospel, but I take all your information, which there is a lot of it, and I use that every day, and I figure we get some insight here from you, Nick Costos, who of course joins BT and I weekly here on The Fan ahead of the NFL season.
What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. How's the summer been?
Everything's great. My daughter's 15 months. She's doing awesome. I've really loved it. Weather's been really good. And I'm pumped, man. We are at a month away from the start of the NFL season. It's my favorite time of year. Football's my favorite sport. Ready to go, my friend.
BT and Sal on The Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Before we get to the football, your daughter's 15 months.
Yes.
How we doing? Sleep pattern, all that stuff.
I feel extraordinarily blessed. She's been basically sleeping through the night since she's been 3 months old. So we put her to, she's usually asleep at 8 o'clock. She usually sleeps until 7 a.m. So we get a nice amount of sleep, my wife and I. And when she wakes up in the night, and I don't know, maybe I'm weird for this. I actually, part of me kind of enjoys, I don't want her to be in distress, but when she's in distress in the middle of the night and she's crying and I go in there, I think that feeling of satisfaction as a father that I get when I pick my daughter up, and you can act, and you know this, you're a father, and you can, like, feel their stress, like, melt away in your arms. I don't want her to be in distress, but I think that's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah,
is that moment.
I think the worst feeling in the world is getting woken up from a crying baby. But when you do have the young baby, like I do, my daughter's 4 now.
But she doesn't happen that often. Yeah. So I guess like I have a different experience. She wakes up crying in the night, I don't know, like once every 2 weeks, I would say. Once a month, maybe.
You hands on with the diaper changes?
Yeah, man.
Look at you. I'm getting all over in there.
It. Yeah, I love it. I want my daughter to grow up knowing that, like, dad did everything for me. Like, my wife definitely does more than I do, but knowing that dad did everything for me, dad was there for everything. You know, it really changes your perspective on everything because, like, my job is obviously very important to me. You know, nothing in my life is as important or will ever be more important than, like, my daughter, right, or if I have another child and being a great dad.
You think it'd be the same if you had a son?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have a son just because, you know, like to... What? Not that my daughter won't like sports, but I mean, I feel like my son would be super into it. I like pro wrestling, but yeah, being a girl dad has been great. And I'm not gonna lie, like I wanted to have a boy.
Really?
Oh yeah, I think that most guys will say
that,
right?
No, I wanted a girl.
Oh, I wanted a boy.
And that's why I asked you the question, because I don't think it would be the same. Like, I love my daughter, unlike you. Like, hard to believe that once you have a daughter, it's like
nothing else matters.
Yeah, it's
mother,
crazy.
Wife, sports, like, that's it. I want to make sure she's safe and protected and taken care of. That's the number one priority. I don't know if I had a son if I feel the same way.
Yeah, well, and you know, I don't. I'm 42 now, and I feel like I'm kind of an old dad. I'm at the point in my life now where I feel like I can actually, like, do well as the parent to a boy, whereas, like, 10 years ago, I'm just figuring out my ass from my elbow,
right.
Much less like a young child. So now I feel like I'm good to go if I had to raise a boy.
You know what's wild, dude? So you and I met probably 2004, I want to say.
I think three.
So I was an intern. When were you an intern here at FAN?
2003, my junior year of college at Fordham.
So then you interned when I was already here?
You were not an intern, obviously. You were just like...
I must have just started out.
You were like transcribing like New Jersey Nets practices on DAT tapes back in the day. For people in the industry will know what that is.
I was just telling that story the other day. I used to go out there with the mic, right?
Yeah.
And 2000...
Kenyon Martin cursing out reporters.
Yes! Joey Waller.
Dude, I told the story on You Better You Bet like a week ago. I'm listening to this. I'm cutting up audio. Someone asks Kenyon Martin like a what if question.
It was Joey Waller.
Dude, and Kenyon Martin's response is, I'll never forget it. I'm like 20 years old cutting this audio. He goes, what if, what if a mother effing nuclear missile hit this building right now?
Dude,
then what?
I didn't realize that you were the intern who cut that up. I was the person who went and got that. And heard Joey Waller. Kenyon, what if the Knicks, it was the Knicks net, what if, and Kenyon just goes, what if, remember, he has the Reds, what if, you're exactly right, mother bleeping building.
And I remember listening to it, I'm like 20 years old, like, this is unbelievable.
All right, so then, and then I knew you at 2004 NFL Radio, we both
were
there
yep.
at Sirius NFL Radio, and we used to go back and forth, Mets and Yankees, Giants,
we used to go to
Falcons.
Knicks games and sit in the media section.
100%. So
girl problems, sports.
Of course, so it's great 20 years later now.
Mostly your girl problems,
I
at the time at least.
I know.
Sal was the stud, man, I can confirm that.
I mean, I had a lot of different girls, but just always a problem. I was such a wuss. All right, anyway, let's get into football stuff. Point is that it's cool to be here 20 years later
on the
fan, which I know is both a dream for us. All right, dude, I want to go around the NFL before we get into the Jets and Giants. I'm excited about the football season. I haven't done the prep work yet. This is where you excel. You know everything. Where are you at? I was talking before about the Chargers. Let's start in the AFC.
I heard you talk about the Chargers. I was driving this morning before I came in, and I heard you say that you think the Chargers might be a Super Bowl team this season.
Yes. What do you think about this?
No chance.
All right. Give me why not.
Well, so yesterday, it's honestly, like, it really sucks. Devastating blow for the Chargers offense. So star left tackle Rashawn Slater, they just signed him to a huge extension last month. Torn patellar tendon, out for the season.
That's a big blow.
And it's a huge blow because of what the Chargers want to be with Jim Harbaugh on offense. Physical, smash mouth, run the football. And the issue with the Chargers offensive line is that the interior is pretty suspect, right? Mekhi Becton, the former Jet, is one of their guards. And now he was good with the Eagles, but you take him out of that environment, he's already hurt. Now he's with a different team. Zion Johnson and Bradley Bozeman, the other guard and the starting center, are flip-flopping like every day at practice because neither guy's good. That doesn't sound great. And the thought, Sal, was going to be that Slater and Joe Alt, like another recent top 10 pick, were going to be good enough to kind of mask the deficiencies of the interior of the line. And now you lose Slater. And I think that this is a huge problem for the Chargers. They just signed Keenan Allen off the scrap heap to be the number two receiver. So I'm not saying that the Chargers can't get there when it's all said and done, but it's like you need to cash like a five-leg parlay in order for that to happen. You need Trey Harris, rookie second-round receiver, to be good. The fifth-rounder, KLS, Keandre Lambert-Smith's got to be good. You need the rest of the line to stay healthy. You need the defense to step up. I think they have a high floor because of Harbaugh and Herbert. If Herbert stays healthy, they're not winning less than like 8 or 9 games. But I think the ceiling is very low now, unfortunately, for the Chargers.
All of a sudden, the Giants, then, that's a winnable game for them, you think?
Well, you know, like, we'll see how the rest of the offensive line shakes out for the Chargers, but it makes it much more winnable than it was 2 days ago with the edge rushers that the Giants have.
So I lied. Instead of starting with the AFC, let's look at the NFC, because a big part about my belief...
Was that too national, by the way? Here's 60 seconds on the Chargers.
I'm thinking, why did I even team up on the Chargers? But I mentioned it before. I'll be curious to get your take then on a sleeper in the AFC. We could do all that. But as you mentioned, the Chargers maybe not being as good as I thought they were going to be, Slater being a big injury here. That's the Giants' week 4 opponent. One of the reasons why I think the Giants might have a chance to get off to a good start... Commanders, Cowboys, how good do you think the NFC East will be, specifically those two teams as it pertains to the Giants?
I think the Giants can absolutely beat the Commanders and the Cowboys in the first couple weeks
of
the season.
So maybe 3-1? You don't like the Chargers either?
You know, but I mean, they're going to be dogs in both games. They're almost a 7-point dog on the road at Washington. They'll be more than a 3-point dog on the road at Dallas. I just think it's going to be really tough for the Giants this year. While I can acknowledge that I like the direction of the team, the roster's way better. The schedule it's impossible, man. It's impossible. And there's no medals for trying. So if they lose a close game to the Commanders and lose a close game to the Cowboys, now here come the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football and then hosting the Chargers. You can make the case that they could start decently. I don't know that I'm willing to make that case, Sal, because you need Andrew Thomas to be healthy if the offensive line's going to look halfway decent. We don't know if he's playing in week one. That's obviously a huge problem. And ultimately, I don't have a lot of faith in this coaching staff. I don't like Brian Daboll. They were the worst team in the league, and I know they didn't pick first overall. I don't care. They were the worst team. If you watch the games, worst team, year three, not great. I am erring on the side of negativity for the Giants this year, while acknowledging I do like some of the building blocks on the roster.
You think their defense could be as good as people think it's going to be?
I think that the edge rushers should be really good, and I think a positive out of Giants camp, you listen to what any beat writer is saying and what the players are saying, Abdul Carter's already the best player on defense.
Right.
Like, he's better than Burns. He's better than Thibodeau. Maybe he's not better than Dexter Lawrence. They don't play the same position, but they are both absolute monsters, right? So Carter should be really great. I guess my concern for the Giants is going to be, can they stop the run on early downs to set up the pass rush? Because while Lawrence is great, the interior defensive line outside of Dexter Lawrence is not really great. Like, Darius Alexander, the third-round rookie out of Toledo, has not really popped at training camp. Like, does Roy Robertson Harris do anything for you? So I think that there is some hypothetical, theoretical upside with this Giants defense. I don't know if they're going to be able to unlock these edge rushers here the way that they might want to, because, you know, you want to be in 3rd and 7, right? Like, an obvious passing down, so they can pin their ears back and get after the opposing quarterback. I don't know if the defense is good enough to get you in those spots consistently.
What about the offense? We're in studio, BT and Sal on the Fan. Nick Costos here sitting in. BT is on vacation. We're going over all NFL starting Giants here. We'll get to the Jets, NFC, AFC, fantasy stuff. I want to get to that. What about the Giants offense? I don't love Russell Wilson at this particular point. I love Malik Nabers. I don't know about Daboll. The one thing he was supposed to do is score some points. They can't even move the football, let alone score points.
Yeah, he stinks.
Where are you at with the Giants offense?
Well, the offensive line is terrible again. Maybe you want to build a bull case that they're all back for another year and there's camaraderie and the communication's good. If Andrew Thomas doesn't play, they're an abject disaster. And we still don't know if Andrew Thomas is going to be good for week one. He's obviously been an injury-prone player. So you need Thomas to elevate the floor of this offensive line, because if he's not good to go or not 100%, this is like a bottom three offensive line again in the league, and that's going to cut their legs off, like from under them. Where, listen, I think Malik Nabers is awesome. Obviously, I think it's indisputable. He's one of the best receivers in the league already. I like the two young running backs, right? I like Tyrone Tracy. I like Cam Scadaboo. I like Theo Johnson. I like some of the skill position pieces. And Russ is not great, but he's fine. But if this offensive line can't block, it's not going to matter. It's the same garbage, man.
Are you excited about the possibility of Jackson Dart, or you can't get past the fact that it's Shane and Daboll still?
Well, if Dart's good, I think it's going to mask a lot of issues, right? It'll be the deodorant for a lot of smelly stuff in the Giants organization, right? I mean, just that's the fact, right? So if the season's going off the rails, right, and Dart comes in and he's good, obviously, you feel good going into the next year, and I think that's going to save Daboll and Shane's jobs, even if the one loss record isn't great. Let's say they go 6-11, but Dart plays the final however many games, and he looks really good. I think it's going to save their jobs, and, you know, if they nail the franchise quarterback, then maybe they do deserve to stick around, but I don't think wins and losses this season, Sal, is going to go great for the Giants.
Are you somebody who looks at the schedule on paper and says, at this point in August, Jesus, that is a brutal schedule, or you want, let's see how the season plays out, because things can change week to week and month to month with the NFL?
I don't know how you look at the schedule for the Giants and have any reaction other than, oh, bleep. And I'm pissed as a Giants fan. Like, we're the worst team in the league. We're supposed to have an easy schedule. Like, this is the schedule. And look, on any given Sunday or Monday or Thursday, or the NFL plays games every day of the week now, the war on Christmas, right? You can make the case that any team can beat any team. So the Giants can win these games. But I would use point spreads as a way to kind of think about this, right? So they can beat the Commanders in week one. They're almost a 7-point dog on the road. Like, betting market says they're very likely to lose that game. More than a 3-point dog on the road at Dallas week two. Likely to lose that game. Close to a touchdown dog probably Sunday Night Football week three at home against the Chiefs. Likely to lose. Going to be probably a 3 or 3.5-point home dog again, and things can change, right? Against the Chargers. Likely to lose. Favored, slight favorite on the road in New Orleans. Maybe you give them that game. Home Eagles, touchdown dog or more. At the Broncos, touchdown dog or more. At the Eagles, double-digit dog. Home Niners, more than a 3-point home dog. At the Bears, more than a 3-point road dog. Home Green Bay, more than a 3-point home dog. Like, where are the wins coming from here? Yeah. Like, where's it coming from? That's all those games, they're going to be projected to win one of those games before the season starts. And I didn't even get to at the Lions and then at the Patriots, the 2 weeks. There'll be dogs in both those games, obviously, as well.
All right, more on the Patriots because I do want to do the AFC and I'm curious about them and the landscape of this thing. But let's stick in the NFC East for a minute. We touched on it a little bit. So do you think the Cowboys, with Schottenheimer now running things, with the issues with Parsons, are they going to be looked at as... You know, I know nobody's the Eagles, and we'll leave them out of it because I don't think anybody's going to dispute that they're the best team.
I think you can poke some holes there, not in them not making the playoffs, but maybe not being as good as last. Yeah, okay. I think you can poke some holes.
All right, so then that's good. But what about the Cowboys? Where are they looking?
So here? Dallas is a stars and scrubs roster where they have pretty good top-end talents, offensive line, edge rushers, wide receivers now with George Pickens coming over, but they are very thin. And it's like a flimsy operation there. So, for example, right, left tackle Tyler Guyton gets hurt a couple weeks ago. It's not an ACL. He's probably going to miss week one, but he'll be back at some point, maybe for the Giants game in week two. If Dallas suffers an injury on their offensive line to any of their good offensive linemen, if CeeDee Lamb's out, if George Pickens is out, if this Parsons situation drags into the season, something happens there. If any good players on the Cowboys get hurt, Sal, they don't have the depth to overcome it. So the bull case for Dallas, like going over their win total, making the playoffs, I think the offense is going to be really good. The pass game should be electric. I certainly think that's going to be the case. But you need basically everybody to stay healthy, or I think this could go off the rails. That's my issue with Dallas. If you could guarantee me the principal players all stay healthy, I'm telling you they're winning 9 or 10 games. But I mean, one offensive lineman goes down, and that's like a piece out of the Jenga tower. The whole thing comes crumbling down.
What about Schottenheimer versus McCarthy?
It's impossible to say how he's going to do as a head coach. I know Jets fans have really strong feelings about him after the AFC Championship game against the Steelers, Christmas Eve against the Giants, and the Victor Fruz game going 99 yards, obviously. I want to be optimistic with Shotty just because I had so much respect for his late father, Marty.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm willing to be cautiously optimistic on Shotty, but is there a chance he's a total frickin' donkey? Like, of course. and he's punting in spots where he should go for it, like kicking field goals, and Aubrey's really good, so maybe you get away with that because you feel like he's going to make it. I guess I'm cautiously optimistic on Shotty. I don't know how you could be anything other than cautiously optimistic or pessimistic. We haven't seen it before, so it's tough to know how it's going to go.
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio with Nick Costos, NFL expert. How else do you want me to introduce you? You got so many different shows and
titles.
Well,
I think on my contract it is Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, but I like NFL expert too.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
I figured that's the better one. Obviously, we hope to have you again on with us every week during the football season. Nobody does it better than you, and I love your Sunday morning show getting you all the insight here. Speaking of donkeys, Dan Quinn. I don't trust Dan Quinn.
Well, you did go to the title. Well, I say you. You're a Falcons fan. He was your former coach. They did go to the title game last year.
How I stand. He blew the biggest lead in the Super Bowl. The worst loss in the history of the NFL is hung on Dan Quinn.
I don't know if I think Kyle Shanahan gets a ton of the blame for that.
We'll get
Super Bowl 50. And also, you're going up against Brady. It's not that easy.
Understood.
Listen, not every team can be like the Giants and beat Brady in 2 Super Bowls.
It's
okay,
twice.
Buddy?
They did it twice. Dan freaking Quinn couldn't do it once. Hold on to a 28-3 lead. Anyway, where are you at with the Commanders? I'm getting the feel. I compared them to the Texans last year, where everybody's, C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, here we go, boom, the ascension, and a little step back last year. Tougher division than the AFC South is the NFC East. What do you think of the Commanders?
I think a common misnomer that people will have with the Commanders, because you think about Daniels, who's already a megastar. He's a megastar already. Is that, this is a young team, right, with the young quarterback. They're an old team, and they are old basically everywhere. And this is a pass rush in Washington that I don't like at all. They just signed Von Miller off the street, and he's projected to start for them in a week. Like, that's not good. Like, Von Miller doesn't have it anymore. Just like Dorrance Armstrong, like fill you with fear if you're an opposing offensive coordinator. I don't love the Commanders' defense. I don't really love the weapons on offense outside of McLaurin, and he's unsigned right now. So I think if you wanted to make the case that the Commanders can be awesome again this year, go back to the playoffs, maybe play on Championship Sunday, it's Jaden Daniels is even better than he was last year. And it's within the realm of possibility. I don't love this roster, though. And I would look at the Commanders, Sal, and I would expect them to take a step back this season in terms of wins and losses, even if I think Daniels is already the best quarterback in the conference.
Yeah, see, I'm with you there, which is why I maybe can create a path for the Giants to have some success. If you feel like the Cowboys are going to fall back a little bit, and you mentioned why they could, same thing with the Commanders, maybe there's a little bit of a window there for the Giants. One more in the NFC. Actually, two more before we take a break. Then we'll get to the AFC and the Jets and maybe go around the league a little bit. NFC North, as loaded as it appears on paper going in?
Yeah, this is it's a badass division. Now, the two teams like that the betting market has at the bottom of the division, the Vikings and the Bears, both dealing with some stuff right now that's not great. So J.J. McCarthy, who's obviously stepping in for Sam Darnold as the Vikings starting quarterback, reports at a training camp are a little scattershot. One day he looks good, one day he's inaccurate. That's not great. Jordan Addison, their number two wide receiver, suspended for the first three games of the season. And like none of their other receivers are good, obviously, outside of the great Justin Jefferson, who right now is nursing a hamstring injury. And we haven't seen him in training camp. The secondary, I think, has the potential to be okay, but could be a problem for Minnesota, even if I like Brian Flores. But I want to be bullish on the Vikings this year because I love the head coach, Kevin O'Connell. Hmm. Just that there is a little bit of negativity around them right now.
What's their number, win total?
8.5.
It's pretty low for the Vikings.
I like the over.
Okay.
And if you like Minnesota, I would suggest betting extreme outcomes, like bet Minnesota to win the NFC North. I would also suggest that for the Chicago Bears, who I think have a ton of theoretical upside this year. Year one with Ben Johnson, with Caleb Williams. They've completely remade the offensive line. I think it's a top 10 offensive line. I've got some concerns about the pass rush, but they have good players on defense. The secondary is awesome. Stud play caller now in Ben Johnson. Where I think you can make the case, right? And I've said this on my show, You Better You Bet. When we get to season's end, you could tell me that there is any order of finish with the four teams in the NFC North, and I wouldn't be shocked. Vikings 1, Packers 2, Bears 3, Lions 4, Lions finish in first, Green Bay finishes in last. I think everything's on the table there. The Lions lose Frank Ragnow, they lose both coordinators, obviously Aaron Glenn, now the head coach of the Jets. The Packers seem like they're on the up and up, but look at their roster. I don't think they have a lot of like great players on their roster. So the way, Sal, that I view the NFC North, from a betting perspective at least, I want to take shots at the two teams at the bottom at big prices, Minnesota and Chicago. But I do think this division is awesome.
Anybody in the NFC worth talking about? I feel like probably not. Do you think so? Meaning as far as being legit contenders in the NFC.
Outside of what, like the Eagles?
What'd I say? I meant South. Did I not say South? Well, NFC South.
Well, Tampa's got a chance to be really awesome. And okay. We'll talk about your team in a second, too. I think Carolina's going to stink. I think New Orleans is going to stink. Tampa, they got to get Tristan Wirfs healthy. For people that don't know, he's maybe the best left tackle in football. He underwent arthroscopic surgery about a month ago, and he may open the season on PUP, miss at least the first four games, which is problematic. But it's another year with Baker Mayfield in this offense. The offense is absolutely stacked. For fantasy purposes, Chris Godwin's going to miss the first couple games of the season. They drafted Ohio State receiver Emeka Egbuka with the 20th overall pick. He is a monster. He's an absolute beast. So that offense should be good again. Maybe you're a little concerned with Liam Cohen, last year's OC, now the head coach in Jacksonville. And remember, the coach of the Panthers, Dave Canales, was the Bucs offensive coordinator 2 years ago. So this is now third offensive coordinator in 3 years. The first two are now head coaches elsewhere. Can Josh Grizzard kind of pick up the slack that Liam Cohen's left behind there? I'm bullish on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I do think, Sal, there's an upside case to be made for your Atlanta Falcons.
We still don't know who's going to be quarterbacking.
Penix is going to be the quarterback, for sure.
But didn't you say that Cousins was out playing him in training?
So there have been reports that and I think that's a good thing, that Cousins has looked good. There's no quarterback competition. Like, this regime has hitched their wagon to Michael Penix Jr. He's going to start. He'd have to be brutal. And the schedule is tough to start the year for Atlanta to get benched. But here's how it happens for Atlanta. So their pass rush has been toothless, obviously, for years. With their first-round pick, they drafted Jalen Walker, who's played some off-ball linebacker at Georgia. They are playing him exclusively as an edge rusher. And then traded next year's first-round pick to the Rams to get James Pierce Jr., who is kind of like boom bust, but if he booms, he's going to be a monster pass rusher right off the bat. So if you can get both of those guys good as rookies, and it's an if, maybe get like one or two of these other young players on defense to step up, the offense, I think, should be electric this year. With Zach Robinson, year two calling plays, McVay disciple. I think Penix has got a chance to be really good. Drake London's an absolute monster. So the Falcons do have a path, but you need like three or four things to all happen to get them home.
Quickly, NFC West before we break and then do the AFC. Are the Niners, I know Stafford's being, you know, the banged up with the epidurals here, so there's an issue there with Stafford. Where are we at with the 49ers? Are they going to be the legit team in the NFC West?
Yeah, so San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan has been pretty funny, where it's either like NFC championship game or like picking in the top 10 in the draft. So last year they pick 11th. They lose a lot of close games. They have a ton of injuries. It's the season from hell. I actually think they're the worst, like the best 6-win team in the history of the league, the way it shook out last year. I think they got pretty unlucky. And this year, we talked about the Giants schedule being brutal. The Niners schedule like actually could not be easier. They are avoiding many of the elite teams in the league. Obviously, you play the Rams twice in division. The schedule is very easy for San Francisco. Robert Saleh was obviously a disaster as a head coach here with the Jets. I like him as a defensive coordinator. I like Mikel Williams, who might win Defensive Rookie of the Year if Abdul Carter struggles, their first round edge rusher. If Christian McCaffrey stays healthy, like the offense is going to smash. I do like San Francisco a lot. Arizona would be my sleeper team in that division. I like the Cardinals to go over their win total challenge for a wild card berth in the NFC.
BT and Sal on the fan. Nick Kostos, NFL expert, Odyssey betting insider. What is that what you said?
Odyssey betting insider.
There you go. Odyssey betting insider.
Handsome,
in studio with us.
Well-dressed.
Great father, diehard Yankees and Giants
fan. I'm a good friend. We've been friends for a long time.
Yes, of course. We enjoyed Dice together. That was a great concert, wasn't it?
I think about that sometimes.
He was so good.
It's the greatest comedy show I've ever been to.
We were laughing our rear ends off. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the AFC and talk some Jets. BT and Sal back on the fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
888-808-1019, the number to call. We'll get back to your calls, I promise. Maybe even take some calls here with Nick before he says goodbye. You have to go? Like, you have any specific time constraint here?
Yeah, I have a kid.
Okay, all right. So we go to 1 o'clock. We'll see if we can squeeze as much in as we can because I did want to get to fantasy. So let's do some AFC here.
You know, if you want to talk fantasy football, that might just be the nectar that gets me to stay a little
bit. Well, I need some help with it. I didn't do my prep yet. I want some fantasy help. And then I was talking a little bit yesterday with David Wright, and he asked me.
That's a sweet, humble brag, man.
I know, but it is true. And he asked me.
Humble brag, or are you bragging? You can be honest. You're a huge Mets guy. That's a brag.
I mean, I love the fact that I talk with him on occasion.
Love that.
But
I love that for you.
He's the one, because we were talking about during David Wright week, like he's in a big fantasy league with Daniel Murphy and a couple other guys, whatever. So I joked in the email that I was sending him, hey, good luck in your fantasy. And he's like, dude, my team has been awful. I need some help. So I was like,
out of the blue, you just emailed David Wright, like, good luck?
Well, he came on the show a couple of weeks ago, both this show, radio show, okay. And SNY.
Okay.
So, you know, when his number was retired, so I wanted to just thank him for his time.
You're fishing a little bit.
No.
You're like, how can I get David Wright to reply to me?
No.
Good luck on your fantasy, because he's gonna say something
I ended it saying, no, I didn't think he was going to say anything. Maybe like,
because now the door's open for your, now you're going to be his fantasy football guru, right?
Well,
you're going to be the Sherpa.
Well, no, you're going to be the fantasy
yes, but I get none of the benefits of this. I'm already your friend. You get to be David Wright's friend.
Well,
now.
I like getting the, as much, I told you, get as much information and then take with that what you will. Anyway, so maybe we'll get to some fantasy here. Let's get into the Jets. We were talking about during the break, you're high on Aaron Glenn, huh?
Well, I don't know if I'm necessarily like high on Jets wins and losses this season. What I'll say about the Jets is this. Everything that they have done, Aaron Glenn, and how do we, the GM's last name,
I think Moogie, but you could call him whatever you want. What's the difference?
I don't want to butcher his name. I like Moogie more. Moog. Okay.
Moogie.
Moog.
All right, so Moogie it is.
Moogie.
There we go. Yeah.
Everything that they've done since they took over, I think has been really smart. And I think, you know, we'll see how it goes in terms of wins and losses and if it continues. I like everything they've done. And I think the number one, the best thing that they did was let Aaron Rodgers walk. And I know, and I like Aaron. I think the Steelers are going to be good this year. We could talk about them. I know a lot of Jets fans wanted Rodgers back. Gives you the best chance to win this year. Like, Glenn and Moogie are trying now to instill this culture. Like, to build a winning culture. Like, from the ground up. How the hell are you supposed to do that with a 41-year-old malcontent D-vet quarterback? And I like him.
I was going to say, easy on my guy Rodgers. Come on.
Let me tell you something. No one likes Aaron Rodgers more than me. And I like the Steelers this year, but let's call a spade a spade. Like, you're a new coach coming in, a first-year head coach, and you're trying. Like, he can go to Pittsburgh and deal, and Mike Tomlin can absorb him into Pittsburgh because Tomlin's got the pedigree to be able to do that. Like, Glenn's trying to make a name for himself. You got a quarterback who's like assuming like the control is the face and voice of the operation. You can't have that. I love them letting Aaron Rodgers walk. I loved picking Membo in the first round. I love the Mason Taylor pick. I love that these practices are physical here for the Jets. I think they have, outside of Buffalo, by far the best offensive line in the AFC East. Now, Buffalo's is better, but their offensive line is way better than Miami's and way better than New England's. They do have some top-end talent on the roster. The issue with the Jets is that the quarterback stinks. And I'm not willing to hear any arguments to the contrary on this. This is why a couple weeks ago, Sal, when Fields, it turned out to be a dislocated toe.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's carted out of practice, and everyone's having a freaking meltdown. Oh my God, Justin, season's over. Like this is the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes got carted off. Or the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. Justin Fields is not good. Like, and people are melting down over this? Like, do you think Justin Fields is going to be the week one starting quarterback for this team next year? No way. I put that at less than 50% that Fields is the starting quarterback week one next year. He shouldn't be the week one starting quarterback next year. He's okay. He was decent last year in Pittsburgh when he started before Russell Wilson came in. He's obviously a great athlete. He could run for over 1,000 yards. I love him in fantasy football this year for that reason. But man, the guy can't throw. He can't throw, and it's going to cap the upside of this team.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned fantasy because I've been saying that for a while. His rookie season, I punt usually quarterback spot in fantasy. And I got
that used to be a good strategy. Yeah, it's not really anymore.
I don't know if it is anymore, but I got caught in the pickle.
I'm telling you it's not.
There you go. It's not anymore. Well, right.
And now you can email David Wright and tell him that.
Great point. Yeah, because it used to be running back. Now it's like, I don't even know if that's the right way. So,
well, in your home leagues, I think it's, so meaning like non-expert, that sounds really arrogant.
Right.
I'm an expert.
Right.
I play in expert leagues. Sorry,
so your
everybody.
Competition is up there, yeah.
But if you're playing in a home, it's just like you're, and there's nothing wrong with that. I play in those leagues also. I think you got to go running back heavy to start because you'll be able to get stud wide receivers in the mid rounds that won't be there in like expert drafts.
Point is, when I punted on the quarterback situation, found myself in a pickle. I picked up Justin Fields, who, if I were in an expert league, wouldn't be available, but he was, and he went nuts that first year. But I was watching him closely. And the Bears kept losing. Like, he put up monster fantasy
numbers.
Yeah,
he's bad.
Well, that's my point. So he's a good fantasy quarterback. Doesn't make him a good quarterback. And I have the same issue with it. Like, I just don't think he throws the balls into short windows. He doesn't throw with accuracy.
No, he's a bad passer. And if they're ever behind in games, like, they can't come back. And they also have no receivers outside of Garrett Wilson. And again, like, I don't want to make this a huge negative thing about the Jets. I think they're going in the right direction. And I do think that you can make the case. I would take New England because I like the upside of the coach and the quarterback more. But you can make a case that the Jets come in second in the AFC East. And if that happens, Sal, if the Jets, let's say they go, I don't think it's going to happen, but it could. If they go 9-8, and anyone out there listening right now thinks that that's realistic, you need to bet Aaron Glenn to win coach of the year because he's going to get all the credit for it.
All right, what about the AFC? I was looking at the schedule before. So assuming you'd take the over 5.5.
I think it's just about right.
So six wins?
I think they could win six games.
I mean, you love Aaron Glenn. I like
where they're headed. And right. I do think there's a path for them to win like eight games. My issue is, again, I think the quarterback's not good.
All right.
And I think the Dolphins stink.
Well, that
so they could be better than Miami.
I was giving him my next question. Bills good, Dolphins bad. What's up with New England?
Bills great.
Okay.
Like, not good.
Better than we've seen them before?
I would say that the Bills and the Ravens will both go over their win totals. I think they will both win, 12 to 14 games. And lose to the Chiefs in January, which is what happens every year. That would be my guess for Buffalo.
Okay, so Bill's great. Pats, where are we at with them?
New England's really interesting. Vrabel is obviously an established coach, has won coach of the year before. Drake May at points was tremendous last year as a rookie. So I like the coach and I like the quarterback. I don't love these receivers. I'm not like super into, 32-year-old or whatever, Stephon Diggs coming off a torn ACL. Like, I don't even know like what 2C is. It's like this pink, he's got it on a boat with like Cardi B. Like, none of this is good, like for the Patriots, right? I like Travion Henderson, the second round rookie. I like Kyle Williams, who is a third round rookie receiver. But like, I don't know if this gets you to like 10 wins with the Patriots. And the big issue with New England is going to be the offensive line. So they draft Will Campbell out of LSU with the fourth pick in the draft, right? Thought is he's going to be the left tackle for years. He's been not good at training camp. They drafted a mid-round guard, Jared Wilson, who's now like going to start next to Will Campbell on the left side. So the Patriots are likely to enter the season against Max Crosby and the Raiders with rookies on the left side of the offensive line. And the one that you expect to be good, Will Campbell, hasn't been good. This has a chance to be one of the five worst offensive lines in the league. And Drake May is going to be running for his life now. He's awesome and he's good at that. But I think this really caps the upside for New England, where again, if you make me pick Patriots or Jets, who has more wins? I'll take the Pats just because I think Drake May's way better than Fields, and maybe Aaron Glenn's going to be great, but we know Vrabel's a really good coach. But I will acknowledge the possibility that the Jets could be better than the Patriots this season.
BT and Sal on the Fan in studio with Nick Costos, NFL expert, Odyssey betting insider, and AFC North, kind of similar to the NFC North, also loaded. Bengals looking for a big bounce back. Ravens are the Ravens. I am with you. I love Rodgers and believe he's going to be better with the Steelers, and they'll be better with him as opposed to Russell Wilson. Browns, who knows where you're at with the AFC North?
Baltimore is going to smash. They win the division if Lamar's healthy the whole year. And it doesn't mean they're going to win the Super Bowl. I would never pick them to win the Super Bowl because when it gets to January and big games, Lamar Jackson like urinates down his leg every single time. It's almost like I would feel bad for him if he wasn't filthy rich. So I don't feel bad for him. But he can't get it done in the big spot. But regular season wise, he's going to be a monster. They're going to be a monster. He could win MVP. They could go 15-2.
Steelers or Bengals?
Steelers.
Down on the Bengals.
That's,
huh?
And that's contrarian. Everyone loves Cincinnati this year.
Yeah, for a big bounce back.
So
huh?
Issue with Cincinnati. The defense is terrible. Terrible. And that's if they bring Trey Hendrickson in, if they figure that out with him, with this cheap organization. So you need Hendrickson to get like 17 sacks again. You need that. You need first-round rookie edge rusher Shamar Stewart, who's like the epitome of boom bust, who has no college production but is really toolsy out of Texas A&M. You need him to be really good. You need Al Golden, who replaces Staten Island Italian Lou Anarumo, who's now in Indianapolis as the defensive coordinator. You need him to be a stud just to make this like an average defense. Average. They're going to be brutal. And this is the same thing that it was last year. And look, like Burrow's a stud and Chase is great. And T. Higgins is great. And Chase Brown is awesome. Their offense is going to cook. Like, they destroyed the Eagles backups last night in the first preseason game. Of course they did. They're going to score a ton of points. I have a hard time, Sal, seeing how this year for Cincinnati goes any differently than it did last year, where they're going to have to win every week 38-35. Because I think the defense is going to be terrible. I like the Steelers' defense way more. And I'm higher on Aaron Rodgers than most. I will take the Steelers to finish second over the Bengals.
AFC South, improved quarterback in Indianapolis with Daniel Jones going there. Obviously, I say that in jest. Where are you at with the AFC South Texans division here or what?
I'm down on the Texans entering the year. So, guess Houston's win total. And I want to make sure that I get this right because it's been fluctuating.
I'll guess 8.5.
I think that, it fluctuates. I think it is 8.5, right? So it's like, will they finish? It could 9.5.
Yeah, I'm the NFL expert.
So,
look at me. I know.
He said that like Seinfeld.
Oh,
I love
he's
that.
He's rubbed off on me.
I love that. Me too. 9.5 under, 8.5 over for the Texans. Okay. Like, will they win 9 games? So Houston basically has remade the entire offensive line, and it's not a good thing. Like, they're throwing bleep against the wall to see what sticks. DeMeco Ryans, the head coach, is talking up this line, which was horrendous last year. And they traded all the good players. Laramie Tunsil's in Washington now. And he might be a head case, and he might be bad in the locker room. He's also a good football player. I don't know how many good football players they have protecting C.J. Stroud. Now, Nico Collins is a beast. But when you get past Nico Collins, like, do you have faith in second-round rookie Jaden Higgins? Like, rookie slot receiver Jalen Noel? Like, Joe Mixon's got ankle and foot injuries. He hasn't practiced in training camp. Nick Chubb's got absolutely no juice. I got issues with this Texans team, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the secondary just got hurt yesterday. I think Houston's going to go 8-9. If I had to take a shot at a team in the AFC South, Sal, to exceed expectations, let's go down to Duval County.
Wow.
With the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Even with that awkward Duval.
Yeah, like, dude, Nick Sirianni embarrassed himself in his opening press conference.
Excellent point.
So, look, Cohen's weird. He also smashed last year as the play caller in Tampa. And I think there's a case to be made that he's the guy, and maybe it'll be wrong, and maybe Trevor Lawrence just doesn't have it. And I'm a little bit biased towards Trevor Lawrence because I felt coming out that he was going to be an absolute monster. He hasn't been. I think he's got it in him. Man, Brian Thomas Jr., last year's rookie first-round pick at receiver. I would take him in the first round of fantasy draft.
You know, you just reminded me. I got to write that one down for David Wright because I did love him last year, too. So
I hope David Wright knows who Brian Thomas Jr. is. So Brian Thomas Jr.'s upside is to be like the top 5 receiver in the league this year. And then we talk about Travis Hunter, who's going to play in the Jaguars' first preseason game this weekend against Pittsburgh. He's going to play both wide receiver and corner. Now, I want him to play more receiver because I talked to some people, like Pete Prisco from CBS Sports is a good friend of mine. He's been covering the league forever. I asked Pete, what is Travis Hunter's pro player comparison at receiver? Pete's response, Justin Jefferson, which does not mean that he's going to be as good as Justin Jefferson, but that's in the range of outcomes for Travis Hunter. And the Jaguars do have a suspect offensive line. How do you mitigate that? If you watch Travis Hunter win the Heisman Trophy at Colorado, you throw him a screen pass and he runs around everyone like Michael Vick and Madden 2003. So you have, this could be for the next 10 years, if they both stay in Jacksonville, the best 1-2 punch at receiver in football. And I want to bet on upside like that. I'll take the Jaguars in the AFC South.
How about the loaded AFC West? The coaches alone. I'm a big head coach guy in the NFL. Obviously, coach quarterback combo. Loved Pete Carroll. Would have liked to have seen him with the Jets, although I'm okay with Aaron Glenn now. But how do you see the AFC, loaded AFC West?
So the Chargers, as we talked about at the start, where I probably self-scouting 75 seconds too many on the Chargers for me to start here. It was a lot on the
today?
A lot.
Yes, that's my fault. I say, yup, I like the Chargers because they're horrible. That's my bad.
Chargers, high floor, low ceiling. If Herbert stays healthy, they're never going to be terrible. Herbert's too good. Harbaugh's too good.
Slater, though, a crushing injury.
I don't think they have the ceiling. I think they could go 9-8 fine.
Okay.
The Raiders are going to be way better and way more respectable, right? With Geno at quarterback, he's a huge upgrade. Pete Carroll's a huge upgrade over former Giant legend Antonio Pierce. Problem with the Raiders. I actually think 1 through 32, and I know Max Crosby's great, they might be 32 out of 32 defense. They're terrible. And they want to run the ball, which is great when you're ahead. But if they're behind, can they come back? I've got issues there. I love the Broncos this year. I think Denver has like 11 or 12 win upside. One of the best offensive lines in the league. Maybe the best defense in football that added Jahdae Barron in the first round. If you can get that leap from Bo Nix and the young receivers all take a step forward, I love Pat Bryant, one of their rookie wide receivers. And Sean Payton's obviously great. I think Denver's going to go over the win total. I think the Broncos could win 11, 12
what
games.
What is their win total?
Denver's win total is like 8.5.
Okay.
It's like lowish. I mean, like, it's 9, basically.
I liked them last year, but now obviously the expectations are raised here.
And Kansas City, the best team in football again.
I remember last year following along on social media when you talked to us, like, just ride the Chiefs wave until they get
beat. Which was great until the Super Bowl, obviously. So they made it to the end. I think the biggest thing, Sal, that happened this past offseason, I'll try to be really quick with this. A lot of things obviously happen in an NFL offseason, signings, trades, coaches, draft picks. The Chiefs traded back from 31 to 32 with the Eagles at the end of the first round of the draft in April and took Ohio State offensive tackle Josh Simmons. Now, Simmons dealt with injuries last year at Ohio State. They won the national championship, obviously. And people way smarter than me that break down film all feel like if he had been healthy, like didn't have an injury, he's a top 10 pick in the draft. They get him at 32. He's taking every single rep first team left tackle right now in Kansas City, where they might have just fixed what was the problem that absolutely sunk them last year against the Philadelphia Eagles. Because now you can put Juwan Taylor at right tackle, and they signed Jalen Moore from San Francisco. Now he's a swing guy instead of having to play one of those positions. It changes the calculus completely for the Chiefs offense. Rashee Rice is coming back from injury. Isaiah Pacheco's coming back from injury. I want someone to tell me with a straight face how the Chiefs, who basically went 15-1 in the regular season last year and sat everyone in week 18. They got blown out by the Broncos in a meaningless game. How they're not better this year than they were last year when they went to the Super Bowl and obviously got housed by the Eagles. I think that they're my pick right now to win the AFC and win it all.
Isn't it because Mahomes has a dad bod?
Is that true?
I don't know. I saw that report. Didn't the Kansas City radio guy rip him for being a little overweight?
It's just like, do you have something better to do?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that guy should eat a salad. read a self-help book.
All right,
do something with your frickin' life, dude.
Quick break in studio with Nick Costos. When we come back, some fantasy stuff. I want to get some insight into some fantasy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big moments or small moments? They all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. A few more minutes here, Nick, with you. I want to get some fantasy insight. So before you give me the actual players, like your philosophy, and I know each league changes in different things, whether it's points per reception.
What's up with this microphone, by the way?
Yeah, I know. It looks like it's going to fall off, right?
Yeah,
you got no computer. You got no microphone.
That's okay. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Well, yeah, welcome to the Fan. Do you have a philosophy? Like, are you a big believer in selecting a player on a team with a good offensive line? Do you more just go based off of this guy's supposed to be an individual stud receiver, so I'll take that? You have a different thought process while drafting?
Well, I think this is going to sound like really obvious. Like, you want to draft players on good offenses. I think like something that hurt me candidly in like one of my favorite leagues that I was in last year, I had at the end of the year, like I was counting on Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy, where it's like, I like both, like both guys were good rookies. They're both good players. The Giants offense was horrible,
yeah,
right?
Two guys.
So I think like that should kind of like break ties for people, where if you can take a player on a good offense, like Jerry Jeudy, for example, like good wide receiver, the Browns are projected to be an absolute like abortion on offense this year. I'd rather take a wide receiver on a good offense over Jerry Jeudy because the Browns offense is supposed to be terrible.
You have some specific players, like give me running back philosophy versus wide receiver. Does it depend on the player?
Yeah, I think, you know, in home leagues, generally what I would say is, you know, taking running backs early, I think, is really important if you're doing a league with your buddies, because I would guess that your friends probably don't know as much about breakout wide receivers as someone who's like in the weeds like I am, right? So you take your running backs early, and then you'll be able to get those stud wide receivers as you move along, where you'll probably in your home league be able to get a wide receiver in like the sixth round that might not make it past like the late third or early fourth in a league with people that are sharper and like spend a lot of time like in the fantasy football weeds. And I'm not saying that to say like I'm better than anybody, but like I spend a lot of time on this stuff, right?
You do.
It's one of the things that I do really well, right? So I think you want to try and take advantage of the people that you play with, where if you feel like they're not paying that close attention, you get your stud running backs early, and then you fill the rest of your roster out as you move along.
Knowing you could pick up receivers. All right, give me some specific names. You mentioned the Bucs wide receiver. Who was it again?
Emeka Egbuka was their first round rookie out of Ohio State.
Right,
so
okay.
He's going to start on the outside while Chris Godwin's injured. He'll probably kick in and play some slot. They have Jalen McMillan also. But Baker Mayfield, in like every interview he does, before being asked a question, goes, Emeka Egbuka is an absolute monster. So I think he's going to be really good this year for Tennessee. Is he a league winner? Maybe not, because Evans is still there. Godwin's going to come back. Bucky Irving. But I do like Egbuka. I mean, I can give you a player on like every team if you want. So you want to give me something? Yeah, what do you want me to give you?
Give me two of your best sleepers in each conference. AFC, two top sleepers.
How deep do you want me to go? We can go Rip Van Winkle level sleeper.
Let's do like 12-team type deep. Not like 14 with experts. Like 12-team sleeper players for each conference.
Okay.
Each conference.
So I'll give you someone on the Saints, and everyone will know who this player is. So he's not a sleeper in that regard. Chris Olave. Olave. Dean Martin, underrated, right?
I know it. I get it.
He's not as good as Sinatra, but he's really good. So Chris Olave has first-round pedigree. He's been a monster in the past. Last year, he's going in like the second round of fantasy drafts. So he has all the concussions last year, which is like cause for concern, obviously. And Derek Carr retires, and now the Saints have a poo-poo platter at quarterback. Emphasis on poo-poo. With Spencer Rattler, rookie Tyler Shuck, who's like 26 years old, and Jake Haener. But they have Kellen Moore, the former Eagles offensive coordinator, is the head coach. He has been showing the Saints players, and this is obviously sucks as a Knicks fan to say this, but he's showing them Pacers highlights from the playoffs. Say, this is how I want us to play. Up tempo, really fast. Let's run a million plays. I think, and Olave's going in like the sixth round of leagues. Like I am buying the dip big time on Chris. I don't even care who can the quarterback just be good enough to get the ball to Olave? I really like Chris Olave a lot.
Love it.
Let's see, where else do
one
we
one more in the NFC game?
For San Francisco, I'll go with Ricky Pearsall, who is their first-round rookie last year receiver, who got literally shot in a robbery attempt before the start of the season. He did have a hamstring injury that he's working his way back from. He's back in practice now. All reports are he's basically unguardable. Brock Purdy loves him. Brandon Ayuk's coming off a torn ACL is not going to be ready for the start of the season. I think Ricky Pearsall could absolutely smash this season south of the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, AFC, you got two. Now, you mentioned team with good offense. Josh Allen, he spreads it around. Is there somebody there? Give me another. It doesn't have to be Buffalo, but it could be anywhere.
All right, let's see. Let's see. With Indy, Jackson. Well, Travis Hunter, I guess, like, kind of doesn't count. I'll give you Jaguars rookie running back. This is a little off the beaten path. Jaguars rookie running back, Bashaul Tuten. So the Jaguars have three running backs, right, that they're going to begin. I think they're going to take all three into the season with them. It's possible, like, they trade Etienne if, like, they feel like Tuten's way better. But they have Travis Etienne, who this regime didn't draft, Tank Bigsby, who this regime didn't draft, and then Bashaul Tuten, who the Jaguars' young general manager, James Gladstone, like, can't stop raving about. Mm. Now, Bigsby appears to be the front runner at the moment to be Jacksonville's RB1. From everyone I talk to and from what I understand, the team, like, wants Tuten, T-U-T-E-N is how you spell his last name, to be their number one running back. So this is an instance, right, where maybe in week one, he's not the guy, but over the balance of the season, I really like Bashaul Tuten a lot for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And one other in the AFC. Can I go deep for you here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you two. Both in the AFC West. I'll give you three.
Okay.
All rookie receivers in the AFC West. Just keep your eyes on these guys. For Denver, Pat Bryant from Illinois, third-round rookie. Sean Payton has compared him to Michael Thomas, who he coached in New Orleans. Like, big physical receiver, going to run a lot of slants over the middle of the field. Like, maybe he doesn't pop early in the season, but I like him over the balance. For the Raiders, they drafted a guy named Jack Besh in the second round, but that's not who I'm talking about. A later round receiver named Dante Thornton, who played well last night in the first preseason game. Ridiculous size-speed combination. He's on a group text chain already with Geno Smith and backup quarterback Aiden O'Connell. So maybe it's not immediately, but I like me some Dante Thornton. For the Chargers, KLS, Keandre Lambert-Smith. If you watched the Hall of Fame game last week, he really popped. Downfield threat for Justin Herbert. And while we're at West sleeper wide receivers, Seattle, Torrey Horton caught a touchdown last night in the Seahawks-Raiders game. Fifth-round rookie out of Colorado State. Seattle has Jaxon Smith-Njigba as the one. Cooper Kupp's the two. He's washed up. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is the three. And their starting tight end is going to be a rookie second-rounder, Elijah Arroyo. So there is major, like, room for volume and opportunity in the Seahawks passing offense. I think Torrey Horton is already the second-best pass catcher on that offense, and I think that he immediately could pay dividends for fantasy owners. Torrey Horton for the Seattle Seahawks.
Dude, you are freaking amazing. Excellent info. This was a great hour. I know you're going to get back home to your family,
I could do it. Listen, I love you, man. Whatever you want.
Hey, so when are you back on? Give me your schedule here. When are you starting your Sundays up on the Fan? The week one, like ahead of that Thursday night or after?
Well, I think my first Sunday show, I think the show is coming, pretty sure it's coming back, is going to be back 8 to 9 a.m. Every single NFL Sunday, I'm on constantly. So I'm on every day on You Better You Bet, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app. You can listen to it on SiriusXM. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it on Twitch. We're on a million radio stations nationwide as well. And search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. We are the number one sports betting show in the nation. My company says that, so I don't have to.
Yeah, and I believe it because you're the best at what you do. I've said that for years, and it just keeps getting better and better. What about your personal social handles?
At the Kostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S on Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram is basically just like pictures of my daughter. I post more actual sports content on Twitter.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
And I'm not on Blue Sky.
Okay. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's like when everyone got really mad at Elon Musk. Yeah,
I do remember that.
Congratulations.
Enough with the social. I can't even take it. Yeah. All right. Look forward to having you on with BT and I during the football season.
I'm looking forward to it. And for the first time this year, I'm wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
Ooh, gives me goosebumps, baby. Football is back. Thank you to Nick Kostos. We'll come back. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Right now, let's get you updated. Here's Peter Schwartz.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.